What's up, hoop heads of the world? This is Eddie Aparicio, and this is Anthony Tuan Corral, and we are the Cisco Kids, and this is Buzzer Beaters, a podcast that's dedicated to basketball that's brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com. You can find us on any popular podcasts as well, such as Spotify, Pandora, Google, YouTube, X, Facebook, you name it. You can find us. Just go ahead and crawl out GremlingsMedia.com. We are live, and we are live every week, every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, because we want to hear from you. We have gotten some commentary the last few weeks, which is great, and that's what keeps us going. This is why we're live. So we're going to go ahead and talk about today, on this week's episode, we're going to talk about three different topics. The first one is actually going to talk about the aftermath of the trades that happened last week. We're primarily going to talk about the main trades, not the big, not all trades, because a lot of trades happened after we had the show last week. We actually only targeted the ones that actually were the high profile ones. So we're going to talk about the aftermath, see which teams are doing pretty good after the trade, which ones still need some work. We're going to talk about some of the trades that actually just fell apart, which is interesting. And then kind of the aftermath of some of the players who were going to be involved in the trade and how they feel kind of chapped after the fact. So we're going to talk about that first, and then we're going to finish our quest to determine the best divisional team of all time. We actually started this quest about 5 weeks ago, and we are now to our sixth week. So that means we're going to have six divisions figured out by the end of this week. And then next week, what we're going to do is we're going to come up with this tournament. And then we're going to try and figure out amongst these six teams, which team is actually the best. And there are some really good teams that we assembled based on the best players of each franchise as we did this. And then from there, we're going to also determine the best one-on-one player. So last week, we actually talked about the, was it the Western Conference? We talked about the, let me see, what was it? It was the Northwest Division of the Western Conference. Yeah, it was the Northwest Division of the Western Conference. And then from there, we yielded Kevin Durant of the Oklahoma City Thunder. We yielded also Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets. We also got Kevin Garnett of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then Clyde Drexler of the Portland Trailblazers. And then the last was John Stockton of the Utah Jazz. This week, we're going to finish it up by covering the Atlantic Division. So that's talking about the Celtics, the Sixers, the Knicks, the Raptors, and the Nets. That's going to be our second segment. And then the final segment is going to go talk about what we talk about every week. Tuan and I have had this contest since the beginning of the season. We went ahead and try to predict, you know, the conference seedings for each of the conferences. And then we put a point system to it. And we just kind of want to kind of follow how we're doing on a week-to-week basis. And then we also had this rookie draft where we picked five players, four from the first round, one from the second round. And then I've been accumulating all their stats. And then we're kind of seeing how we're doing against each other. So that's, we're just going to go about that. It's usually a very short segment, but we want to just cover it because I know some of you have been following it, maybe putting some wagers on who's going to catch up or not. You know, just
Yeah, and then, by the way, we also, my squad's hurting.
Right, and by the way, you know, the All-Star game is this weekend, so we're probably going to talk about that next week, just the aftermath of that. Yep. But, you know, both of our – we have rookies from each of our teams that are going to be in the dunk contest. So I have Stephon Castle, who's on my team, and then Juan has Matas Buzelis of the Chicago Bulls, and he's actually considered the favorite to do this, to win this. So we decided that whoever wins the dunk contest between those two gets an additional 50 points towards their team.
All right, come on. My comeback's starting.
You got Matas Buzelis, man. So anyway, so that's what we're here to talk about. So Tuan, let's get right into it, man. So let's get into the aftermath of the trades, all right? So, you know, the high profile trade that everybody was talking about that just shook the NBA world was the Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis trade. I mean, there's still people talking about this. They're thinking that there's some kind of conspiracy on this thing, right? Like, what is going on here, right? Is this like a big ploy? I mean, you mentioned last week about, is this like kind of like a master plan to get the Dallas Mavericks to Las Vegas, because that's been something that's been talked about, right? Because, you know, it's just way too many things that are moving and it just does not make sense, you know, and you brought it up. Why does the Lakers always seem to get the advantage over all the franchises? And they're definitely the most prestigious, I would say glamorous franchise.
They are.
Basketball, right? Even though they don't have the most championships, but you know they're in Sin City, they're in LA City, you know, Los Angeles, so Tinseltown, right? That's where you know movie stars are made, and you know, a lot of commercials are made, and so there's a lot to be said for players that want to play there, right? So
my argument isn't so much. I understand the prestige, but let's take baseball for example, the New York Yankees, right? Every player they've gotten, in my opinion, has been through the channels of free agency, like legit, right. legit avenues. You look at, and not exactly my team, but, you know, America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, right?
Right.
Everything they've gotten has been through the normal channels, through a draft, through.
Yeah.
But when you look at the Lakers' history, there seems to be
favoritism.
An advantage there. They're yeah. getting things for pennies on the dollar, you know? You know what I mean? And it's just yeah. like, you know, and of course, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of Laker fans out there saying, you know, whatever, dude. But just look at some of the facts. I mean, a lot of these players they got for very low in return.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, you know, one of the things that I was watching a video, you know, if you look at what Rudy Gobert commanded, he commanded yeah. like four first-round draft picks plus a bunch of rotational pieces, right? Yeah. And that's Rudy Gobert, right?
Yep.
We're talking about a transcendent, you know, player, you know, someone who's a perennial all-star, a perennial MVP candidate, and only at age 25, right? And it's crazy that he's going into his, like, ninth year. He's yeah. at age 25. It's like,
so I did look that up. This is his seventh year.
It is. Okay.
It's seventh. Yeah, it's his seventh.
Okay. I thought it was his ninth. Anyway, going into
right.
his ninth
year. Okay. So, sorry. This may be into his eighth, but.
Yeah, it might yeah. be. Yeah, going into his eighth. Okay. But anyway, still, I mean, just imagine if they opened it up. All these GMs would have completely gone berserk. They would have been, they would have lost their crap in trying yeah. to figure out how they can get Luka Doncic on their team, right? So we talked about it last week. Dallas got fleeced. And then, you know, the trade happens. And then we saw, you know, Luka's first game the other night against the Utah Jazz. He really didn't play that long, right?
No.
Just because he came out of come off an injury. And then LeBron, you know, did him some justice saying, hey, just be you, right? So make him try to fit in. And, you know, he played well, you know. But the thing is, it's the duplication of efforts. LeBron and Luka are similar players, right? They have a gaping hole in the middle, right? They don't have somebody who can, you know, be the anchor on the defense just like Anthony Davis was, right? And then, of course, one of the trades that fell through, you know, Mark Williams.
Correct.
You know, when that trade went down, man, I was like, oh, my God, how did they get that? Why didn't the Warriors get that guy, right?
Yep.
And then, lo and behold, you know, they were going to give up Cam Reddish, Dalton Connect, and a first-round pick for Mark Williams, right? And then, lo and behold, it got rescinded because Mark Williams didn't pass his physical. So,
yep.
still had this gaping hole. And then, of course, the weirdness of, you know, teams when they're trying to trade you, and then you have to come back to the team.
Correct.
You know,
yeah, it's just
that's kind of weird, you know? Right? Yeah.
You know, I mean, Connect is a rookie, but yeah, I mean, that could impact him, you know, and I don't know if you saw, right. but Charlotte is disputing the Lakers' findings on Williams. They're saying, where are you getting this information? What is it that you based your return on? Where did he fail? And so the thing about it, and I don't know how much you read into this, but basically what the Lakers said is they gave him his physical and they saw things that concerned them that he would not be available 5 to 10 years down the line.
Whatever
so that he had some sort of potential damage coming in the near future. You know, I don't know if they saw microfractures. I don't know if they saw, I don't know what they saw, you know,
right.
but basically they're, and Charlotte is disputing it, which makes a whole awkward situation even worse.
Yeah, and of course, the word I was looking for was awkwardness.
Yeah.
I said weirdness, but the awkwardness, right?
Yeah.
You know, anytime players are involved in a trade, and, you know, there's feelings. Everybody's human, right? You know, they have to uproot their families, and you know, and then things get rescinded, and then it just feels awkward coming back to the organization that's about to deal you, and then what does that mean long-term for you, right? Dalton Connect, yeah, he's a rookie, and, you know, didn't get that much playing time his first game, you know, after being back, and then Mark Williams didn't even play, right? So, but that's interesting, right? So I wanted to talk about some of these, you know, the aftermath, right? So Luka Doncic looks like, you know, he fits pretty well. Of course, the Lakers are going to try and make that work as much as possible. You know, we already talked about the Mark Williams and Dalton Connect. But then the other side of that trade is Anthony Davis. Now, Anthony Davis balled out his first game. He went off.
Well, his first three quarters.
His first three quarters, and then boom, he gets hurt, which is kind of what we know about Anthony Davis. He gets hurt, right? He's as fragile gets for a big guy, and he just always gets hurt. That guy's never played a full season. But, you know, here you go. Now the Mavericks fans are even more pissed because now they get this guy who, you know, was traded for this transcendent player. And now he just, you know, the reputation was there. And then, boom, it happens. And now they have this gaping hole, you know, on the roster. And then, of course, the Dallas Mavericks are playing our Warriors tonight, you know, and that kind of dovetails into the next trade with Jimmy Butler, right? Jimmy Butler.
Well, so really quick, aftermath is the perfect word of what's going on in Dallas. So
yeah,
whether Anthony Davis got hurt or not, the outcry is it is not about Anthony Davis, right? It is not. It is about him fading away Luka. And what makes it worse is the manner in which they did it. I don't know, the manager, Nico. Nico Harris. He can't sit in his normal seat. He's been getting death threats. There's all kinds of up security there now. I saw an article where the old owner, Mark Cuban was going at it with one of the fans, and that fan had to be thrown out. There was people that had signs that said sell the team or something, and they got kicked out. So, dude, it is, and for us older Warriors fans, we know about that frustration. The closest thing, and this is not even close, but the closest thing that I could come up with was when the Warriors traded Chris Webber. When they traded him, I was furious. I mean, absolutely furious. And there was some sort of he's not getting along with Don Nelson. And I guess Don Nelson had more weight with the organization at the time. And we have, historically, if anybody follows the Warriors, we are starving of big men. We have never had a big man of any value whatsoever. And he was
the only one we really, the only one we really had, dude, was Robert Parrish.
And we gave him away.
Correct. That was the only big man we had was Robert Parrish. And then we went ahead and traded him along with the first round pick that turned out to be Kevin McHale for Joe freaking Barry Carroll.
Yeah.
Right?
Joe barely cares. Yeah.
And then from there, we just got cursed. Yep. We never got a big man from there on out. It was Robert Parrish. I think Robert Parrish cursed the organization when he left, dude. He did.
And correct. And we had a big man. And for those that don't know, Tim Hardaway, who I know he got his fame more in Miami, but he was a big fan favorite for the Warriors. Hurt his knee. I think he tore his ACL. And we got Avery Johnson from the Spurs, I think, at the time. We got him for a season. Yes. And then I was so excited because Tim Hardaway was coming back. Now we had Tim Hardaway and Chris Webber and Chris Mullin. And everything was starting. Latrell Sprewell was on the team. And all of a sudden, there goes Webber. And I was furious. And I remember being furious. And to me, this Luka Doncic is that times two.
Times 10.
Sure. Times whatever you want to multiply.
Yes.
It is significantly worse because he just took him to the finals. So everything that the GM is saying, he's out of shape or he's not who we want to base our examples out of and all this negative stuff they're saying, dude, all of it is nullified by the fact that he just took your team to the finals. Like, that's it. That's what matters. The matters is the winning. And he hasn't shown any examples of the fact that he can't win.
Yep. And William went ahead and chimed in and said, I'm sad. I felt bad that Don Nelson never won an NBA championship.
Yeah.
He's a good, he was definitely a great coach, man. I mean, even though for all of the, he definitely got, Chris Mullin out of town. He got Chris Webber out of town. PJ Carlissimo's got Latrell Spiel got himself out of town, right? But Don Nelson, he was an underrated coach because he actually brought small ball, right?
A lot of people want to give D'Antoni or whatever from.
No, it was Don Nelson.
It was all Don Nelson.
It was all him. I mean, the Ren TMC team was all, that was all small ball. And small ball's kind of the way it was the last maybe 7-8 years, and now the big man have kind of dominated again, right?
They're coming back, right?
Yeah. But Don Nelson was the architect of the small ball. So thanks, William, for chiming in. But so getting back to your point
my point is simply, I don't know how long the wrath is going to last. I don't know how long they're going to be angry for.
The vitriol. Yep.
But I don't see how this fan base ever forgives the owner. This version of the owner.
Yeah. They miss Cuban because Cuban would not have let this happen.
No, he would not.
And he jokingly said that he would never trade. He would get divorced first before trading Luka Doncic, right?
Yes, he did. Joking.
There might be some,
It might not be a joke because as mean as this is to say, it's probably easier for him to find another wife than another player like Luka.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I'm just pointing out the facts, bro.
You might be right, though, man. Yeah. But he might think, you know, his wife is, you know, better than Luka Doncic. But anyway, you know,
whatever,
right? Yeah. But anyway, so we talked about Luka and Anthony Davis, and you know, the next player that I wanted to bring up, since it dovetailed, we were talking about the Warriors. Yeah, now Jimmy Butler, right? Butler has played two games so far. The first game was against the Chicago Bulls, against the team that actually drafted him, and. You know, it was interesting that the Warriors fell behind really, like, badly. It was like a 26-point lead, and all of a sudden they turned it around in the second half, and then we're up by, like, 25. It's crazy. Like, you know, a 51-point swing, you know, within a quarter is when it happens, right? But, you know, you and I were having lunch last week when, you know, the trade deadline was about to expire, right? And we were going, okay, are we going to get Nikola Vucevic? Are we going to get Nikola Vucevic? And it never happened, right?
It never happened.
And I think the reason why it never happened, bro, is because – you know, this guy, Quentin Post, has played very well. And I think he's a better – you brought this up. He's a better shooter than Nikola Vucevic from three, for sure, right? I would say Vucevic is overall you know, he can shoot from everywhere, right?
But Vucevic's strong point when it comes to three is directly in front of the basket, right? He's not a great corner three shooter. He's just straight dead on while Quentin Post is pretty much all the way around the arc.
Right, so he's a better mid-range game than Nikola Vucevic, whereas Quentin Poch is definitely a better three-point shooter. But definitely Jimmy Butler's tenure so far with the Warriors has been a resounding, you know, great move right now so far, right? They played the Bucks the following game. They played against the Bucks. Of course, it was without Giannis Antetokounmpo, but still, the Bucks are still good even without Giannis. They have a lot of good players, and the Warriors actually beat them pretty good, you know, even with Damian Lillard and Kyle Kuzma and Brooke Lopez, and they still have a pretty sound team, right? Defensively as well. So far, you and I, you know, didn't like this trade. We hated this trade, man. Yep. And I'm still kind of,
in a honeymoon phase.
And let me tell you something. Another observation I made about, you know, what's going on, you know, because my concern, and I brought this up, is the Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, right? How that dynamic is going to play out, because they're both alpha dogs, big time. They're both alpha males. And I saw it, man, very early on, that it seems like Draymond is relenting to Jimmy Butler. I've seen it a few times on the court. Like, even Jimmy Butler was calling him out on a few times. And, Draymond's like, yeah, you're right. He wasn't like, oh, shut up, man. What are you talking about? He was, like, relenting to him. And I'm like, huh, this is interesting. So
the one thing I've noticed, though, and I think you're right. I think he is, I don't want to say relenting, but he's definitely not being confrontational with Butler like he has.
He's not as assertive.
Correct.
Not as assertive.
But the one thing I have noticed about Draymond these last two games is his petulance on the floor has been up a notch. He's been griping more than he has in the last couple of weeks. He's been yelling at the refs more. He's been uneasy.
Yeah.
You know? And so part of me wonders, you know, because, you know, Butler is probably the first guy that Draymond's ever dealt with on the Warriors who can argue that is as good a defender, as good as an alpha dog, and potentially makes Draymond less needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I would say Draymond is a better all-around defender than Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is a very good on-ball defender, and he's also a good help defender, but Draymond's otherworldly on the help defending side. He's like a savant, right? And he's also a very good playmaker. Both of them are very good playmakers, right? So, but yeah, you're right. There is a point that, you know, Jimmy Butler makes Draymond not as impactful to the team.
Correct. He's not as necessary. Now, I'm not saying he's not necessary.
He's not as impactful as he was prior. He's not as
necessary. Correct.
Right. He's not as impactful as he was prior to Jimmy Butler's arrival.
Correct. Yeah. And if Draymond is anything, Draymond's a smart dude.
Absolutely.
And sometimes I wonder if he's seeing that, and that's part of his petulance, you know, which is the only word I can use, really, is because he's just stomping around. You know, I saw him yelling at one of the female refs, and he's just...
Yeah, and then he told one of the refs to get out of his face. Did you see that?
Yeah, and I'm going, dude, here we go. Here we go, you know? And to me, that's him venting frustration out that maybe he's feeling from other avenues.
Yeah, and then you saw also Stephen Curry show some open frustration about him getting that tech. you know, in that game. When he was kind of whining, I'm like, what are you doing, man? So we shall see, man. But anyway, so far so good with Jimmy Butler with the Warriors. I think that's been a good pickup so far. I'm still kind of waiting to see something kind of this bomb to explode, which I think still might happen. And
well,
once that happens,
I'll tell you, Eddie, my biggest reason for not liking this trade was because of the Dennis Schroeder trade. Okay, so when Dennis Schroeder came over, my thinking is, okay, he's going to help us in the areas that we need help in.
Yeah, right.
And what ended up happening is that Dennis Schroeder didn't really click until 20-plus games, you know, and even then he wasn't who he was for the Nets. He was better, but he wasn't. So all of a sudden that made me tentative to go, maybe we can't adopt somebody with a different style. Right? Because Jimmy Butler's style is very different than what the Warriors run. But what is ended up happening is, like, when the Warriors have a lull, Butler gets to the line.
Yes.
He works from the inside out.
He goes Jimmy Buckets. Yeah.
Exactly. But he does the things that
they need.
He's talented enough to just eat all of that dead time and make something out of it. You know, and that's the part where, but if you don't really know him or what, that's not something that pops out at you. It's not something that you're going to go, oh, look at that. Like when you see Kevin Durant, you're like, dude, that dude is talented. When you look at Jimmy Butler, you're just kind of like, dude, he's just there. He's just attacking. He's relentless.
A very assertive player. Yeah, he's a very assertive player.
Yeah, and so what's ended up happening is he's filling in that space. Now, will that continue to work? Will that yin and yang work? I hope so. I don't see a reason why not. And so that was my primary reason, because I just thought the styles were going to clash. They weren't going to be able to find a happy medium, and they found
But you know what's interesting, Twan, is that with him on the court now, all of a sudden, Curry is like nailing shots. All of a sudden, man. And it's like, whoa, what's going on here, right? And, you know, you're right. The way that they play has changed. You know, they were very reliant on the three. They still are, but they're not as much anymore because they have somebody who can go to the line and get the easy buckets, and that's what they lacked big time. I mean, they were losing the free throw battle every freaking game, right? So you know, Jimmy Butler so far has been a good fit. I'm just waiting for this ticking time bomb to happen. We shall
correct. But to me, the shining beacon of hope, this is what I hope happens. I hope Kuminga looks at Butler and emulates all the things that Butler does. Because I think that Kuminga can do what Butler does.
Yeah.
With the skill. I mean, he's very
with more athleticism.
Correct. But if he looks at, like, if Kuminga looks at Steph, like, dude, you're never going to be Steph. You're never going to be Steph. You're never going to be Draymond. You're just not. You're not built that way. But when you look at Butler, he can start to emulate some of that. And so I'm hoping that he rubs off on him. I saw an article where Butler's like, you know, I think me and Kuminga are going to be close, you know, and so I hope that Kuminga, you know, learns a lot from Jimmy Butler, because I think there's a lot that he could copy.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. So let's dovetail into another player that was involved in trade talks that didn't happen. That's Kevin Durant. You brought him up, right? You brought him up as a player that's pretty unstoppable. But, you know, it's interesting the aftermath of what's happened with the Phoenix Suns. You know, the people have described the locker room as being somewhat toxic because of this trade. And you know, we learned that, you know, through this process is that, you know, the Warriors were actually eyeing him to be there. That's who they were eyeing first before Jimmy Butler. And of course, Jimmy Butler was eyeing, you know, who was it? They were eyeing. He was eyeing somebody. Oh, Phoenix Suns. He was eyeing the Phoenix Suns. Right.
Yep.
But then, you know, of course, Bradley Beal is the one who held all the cards. You know, he had this no trade clause. And because of that, you know, the Phoenix Suns couldn't wheel and deal if they wanted to. And they were forced to, you know, not do anything really, nothing significant, because they gave up Yusuf Nurkic, right, to the Charlotte Hornets. But Kevin Durant was definitely the Warriors' number one target. And what was interesting is we found out through a private phone call later between Steph and Kevin Durant that Kevin Durant didn't feel it was the right time for him to go back.
Yeah, he was like,
words, I don't want to go back. That. Right. And then you hear Matt Ishbia, who's the new owner of the Suns, who played at Michigan State. He definitely wanted Draymond Green on the team. So there was a lot of talk swirling about, you know, potential reunification between Kevin Durant and the Warriors, but Kevin Durant didn't want it. Now it didn't happen. Now Kevin Durant is back on the Suns, and now he's told the front office that, hey, look, you know, I understand that trades are going down, man, but I need to be involved, man. I need to be let known in advance, like, you guys want to trade me, or you know, because I want to have some say in this, right? I was kind of completely blindsided that I was going to be involved again and potentially going, you know, back to a organization that I played for before that I really wasn't excited to go back, you know? So this is interesting that's happened. And now, you know, the Warriors fans are kind of like a little chapped. They're like, man, come on. I mean, Draymond Green was supposed to be involved potentially in that trade that would have brought, you know, Kevin Durant to the Warriors, but even that wasn't enough. Right. So, I don't know what you've heard or what you wanted to
hear. No. I mean, that's what I heard. I mean, Phoenix is in a bad way because, number one, you got a player in Bradley Beal who now knows they didn't want him and refused to move. Right. So he's kind of like the little kid in the corner going, I ain't going nowhere. Like, I'm going to sit right here and I'm going to screw all y'all. Right. And so, you know, and I know that players with each other, hey, you know, this, I don't get involved in that and blah, blah, this, but you know, they couldn't get better. And in a lot of ways is because Bradley Beal was unwilling to move. And the thing that I ask myself, and I'll ask you, Eddie, obviously Durant is way more gifted of a player than Jimmy Butler.
For sure.
But I'm starting to wonder if we didn't do the better deal.
Oh, you mean that Jimmy Butler was the better deal?
At this point in time, where we're at, what we need, right? I'm not arguing that Butler's better than Durant. I would never argue that.
Yeah, you're saying he's a better fit for the team of what the team needs more right now.
Today, yes. I'm wondering if that was a blessing in disguise for the Warriors.
We shall see, man. I mean, the signs look good because I heard some stat that, like, I think Jimmy Butler's like plus 46 or something like that in two games. Something like that in two games already with the Warriors. We'll find out because they're playing a tough Dallas Mavericks team tonight, which is going to start in about 3 minutes. But we shall see. We shall see if this is real or not. Because even though the Dallas Mavericks, you know, they're kind of in this state too, right? They're kind of like, what the hell's going on? The organization can be described as somewhat feeling a level of toxicity right now because of all the stuff that has been surrounding that organization over the trade deadline, right? With Luka Doncic and now, like, yeah, Anthony Davis, you got Nico Harrison, you got all this talk about, you know, these theories about them wanting to maybe be so bad to go, like you were talking about Major League, you know, being so bad that they go to another city like Las Vegas, right? So there's a lot of turmoil going on in Dallas right now.
I will say this, you know, in regards to Kevin Durant, right? Look at the facts.
Yeah.
Fact. Kevin Durant left the Warriors in an upset manner.
For right? sure. He mostly left, because of Draymond Green.
Correct. Kevin Durant left the the Brooklyn Nets in an upset manner.
Yep.
And left them destroyed.
Yep.
It didn't destroy us. Thank God. Yes. We have Steph. But left them destroyed. Now Kevin Durant is upset with Phoenix.
Yes.
And I'm just following, you know, and if you want to go back a minute.
To Oklahoma City. Yeah,
he left Oklahoma City, but he didn't leave them upset. They were upset he left. So that's kind of a different scenario. But at some point, you know, I'm going to look at you, KD, and go, KD, you're the common factor here. You know, and so maybe you need to reassess the way you see things.
Yeah, you know? No, I hear you, man. I agree with you, man. So,
I think, you know, I look at Phoenix because of internal strife. I look at Dallas because of the internal things that are going on with the hurt, with, you know, Anthony Davis not being available. Gafford isn't available. PJ Washington's not going to play tonight.
Derek Lively's not playing
exactly.
Either.
So they got some, and they also have to deal with their fans, right? There's a negative vibe going through that team. So I think they're going to fall off. When the trade first went down, I was like, oh, this is a good trade. But if Anthony Davis isn't there to help Dallas forget what a horrible trade they just made, it's just going to get worse.
And he's out for at least a month.
Correct. Oh, and then you look at the Sacramento Kings, right, who really didn't get better. Right? And I don't know if that's on your list of
guy I was going to talk about.
So I'll dovetail into that trade.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So they've got two players that played together in Chicago, in DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, right?
Yep.
They didn't do squat in Chicago. I mean, they didn't do much. So I don't know where they're at, but they're definitely a worse team today than they were before the trade deadline.
But what's interesting is that they've won since Zach LaVine's been on the team. They're 2-0, right?
Yeah, and then, but I still think that in the long run they're a worse team.
Yeah, I think so, because you have three ball dominant players in Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and then Malik Monk. Malik Monk is now the point guard, and Malik Monk isn't a traditional point guard, man. He's like a shooting guard turned point guard, and he can pass, but he's not a true point guard. Yeah. And you have three guys who want the ball to be able to be effective, right? Then you got, Domantas Sabonis, who doesn't need the ball to be effective because he's a playmaker, right? He's actually a really good playmaker. He does a lot of good things, as a center. So, but, you have Keegan Murray also in that starting lineup, and he's actually a pretty good player. But then after that, it kind of falls off. And, they're going to feel the hurt of not having De'Aaron Fox, because De'Aaron Fox made that team run, really, honestly, because he was so freaking fast. He's such a matchup nightmare. I mean, you couldn't really contain that guy, right?
Yeah.
Now he goes to the San Antonio Spurs. Now, granted, they're 1-1, since they got traded, right? De'Aaron Fox, they lost to the Magic, and then they won against the Wizards. But, De'Aaron Fox is, he's played very well. And then, of course, it kind of unleashed, that Victor Wembanyama from an offensive standpoint. I mean, that's like a really scary – two-man game right there, a pick and roll right between those two players, because both of them are very effective with and without the ball. So we're going to see this thing play out. The Spurs are starting to lose ground, but they're losing to Boston. I think they lost probably already, right?
Yeah, they were down by a bit.
They're losing some ground right now, and then the Warriors are training to go up, and then the Mavericks are training to go down. We'll see if the Warriors can pass up both of the they're already above the Spurs, but see if they can pass up Phoenix, if they can pass up Dallas. With this trade with Jimmy Butler, man. So I see Sacramento, just like you, kind of falling. I see the Mavs falling as well, because there's just too much toxicity in the air, man. Yep. There's just too much right in that
organization. And I see Phoenix falling. And I see the potential. I'm not going to say they're going to fall because it's too early, but I see the potential of impact of the Lakers going on a little bit of a slide, just as they try to incorporate Luka and LeBron kind of in that offense, and no big man now, and they've got some things to figure out. I mean, they're playing really well. They have been
playing very well. They're one of the hottest teams right now.
But Luka's going to introduce a wrinkle as he kind of makes more and more room for himself, and their offense is going to change a little, and that has the potential to impact them. I'm not saying it will, because those are two uber talented guys in Luka and LeBron James, and what makes you talented is you figure out how to play. Like that's part of the talent. So maybe they'll figure it out, but there's a possibility there. There's something that has yet to be discovered.
Well, you know what's one about the Lakers? Austin Reeves has been a revelation. That kid is really freaking good, man. And he was undrafted, man.
He
was undrafted out of Oklahoma. And all of a sudden, dude, this guy is a baller. And he was balling already his first year. And then now, he's an instrumental part of that offense. Now they have a big three of Luka, LeBron, and Austin Reeves, which is a pretty good, talented big three. But their Achilles heel will be defense and just having a low post guy who can just deal with someone like a Jokic.
Correct.
Because that's everybody's concern is, do we have somebody that can contain Jokic, right? Because the Denver Nuggets are on the way up, even though I thought they were going to make a trade. They didn't make any trades because I thought the bench was kind of their weak spot. But they're doing all right, man. They're managing it right now, and of course Jokic has to play at this MVP level every freaking time for them to be this good, right? And so far so good, right?
One thing I would say though is Reeves has been shining while Luka was out and Anthony Davis is gone. So he's been the kind of the second banana, if you will. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's where he's been thriving. I'm curious how much his growth is going to get stunted.
Now he's third,
you have Luka, because you look at, like, for example, Jalen Brunson, right? Who's a fantastic player.
Yes.
But he got a lot better once he went to New York.
Right? Oh, for sure. When he was on Dallas.
He was already trending. I mean, everyone knew he was good, but like when he left, he took off. And so there's some of that factor there in Luka, right? Just his necessity to have the ball, his style. It could impact Reeves, and Reeves not going to look as good once Luka's in the fold.
Yep.
Long term.
Yep. Right on, man. So all right, man. So we We went ahead and covered all the big trades, you know, about the Anthony Davis and Luka Doncic trade. We talked about the Jimmy Butler and then, you know, Kevin Durant being chopped. And then we talked about some of these other, you know, De'Aaron Fox and Zach LaVine and how they're fitting. So that pretty much completes our segment on how the trades have worked out. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to bring up before we segue?
Yeah, real quick. It's not a huge trade, but I think it's something worth noting. And that was the Cavaliers acquisition of DeAndre Hunter. As sort of a 3-and-D guy.
Yeah, no, that's a good call.
I think that may pay dividends in the postseason, you know, when we get, because, you know, you and I have been talking, and we still, obviously Boston's the champ until they're not, and they're still the team to beat, even though record-wise they're behind Cleveland. But I just thought that was a pretty smooth move by Cleveland. And, you know, it's going to go under the radar, but that may be, Hunter may be a name that we hear in a playoff series or two.
Essentially, they replaced Caris LeVert.
Correct.
With DeAndre Hunter, who is a younger version of Caris LeVert with more defense, more defensive tendencies than Caris LeVert. Caris LeVert might be a more refined offensive player, but he's in advanced years. He had that horrific freaking ankle injury. I don't remember that. Oh my God, that was gross.
Yes.
But, you know, he's recovered fine, and, you know, he's playing well for Atlanta. You know, I had him in a bunch of my FanDuel lineups tonight. I'd have to check out later, man. But anyway, let's go ahead and dovetail to the next segment. And this is this is our final week of the West to determine the best divisional team of all time and the best one-on-one player of all time.
Yes. So
we're going to go ahead and focus on the Atlantic Division of the Eastern Conference. So that is the Boston Celtics, the 76ers, the New York Knicks, the Toronto Raptors, and then the Brooklyn Nets.
Previously
known as New Jersey, right? Yes. But anyway, so let's go ahead and let's start with the hardest one. Let's start with the Celtics. Because they have a lot of freaking good players, man.
This was you want to go? You want me to go?
You know what? We'll start off with you and I'll go to the next one.
Okay. So I'll go. So I did keep this to a championship level player. At this point, because I just we're gonna go on and on if I and so
well that's where you leave it up to me because I will bring up
yes you'll fill in the gap so players that I have as qualifiers
as candidates to be the best of the organization
is obviously Jason Tatum
for sure
because he's Robert Parrish
McHale previously mentioned from the Warriors all right
yep exactly Kevin McHale drafted with the Warriors pick.
Yep.
Paul Pierce.
Yes.
Hondo, also John Havlicek, also known as Hondo.
Okay.
Bob Cousy, Larry Bird, and Bill Russell. That's my list.
Okay.
All champions.
So say it again.
I said all champions.
Yes. All right. Yes. So all right. So I have more. All right.
I only
do this because I want to give kudos to.
Yeah.
These players that have played for this organization. Now, some of these are like real like candidates, and other ones are just honorable mentions, right?
Yep.
The guys that I'm going to mention, you've already mentioned John Havlicek. He was on my list. Two guys that I want to bring up, JoJo White. All right. Yep. JoJo White, ninth pick out of Kansas in 1969, played for this organization, and actually was a really good player for the Boston Celtics. Another guy, the year after was drafted, was Dave Cowens. Remember Dave Cowens?
Dave Cowens, I remember.
He was a Warriors head coach
for a period
of time, right?
Yes, so he was.
He was the fourth pick in 1970 out of Florida State. Another guy that played for the Boston Celtics, but I would say he was more known as a Phoenix Sun, was Paul Westphal.
Paul Westphal
was the 10th pick in the 1972 draft out of USC, right?
Yep.
Now, you already mentioned Bill Russell, right?
Yes.
So he has to be named. You already mentioned Larry Bird. The next guy I'm going to talk is, you already mentioned Kevin McHale, and then Robert Parrish, Danny Ainge.
Danny Ainge.
Dude, this guy was a second round pick out of BYU. And he actually was a damn good player for
He was a tough SOB.
And he could have played in professional baseball. I think that's what they thought he might have gone to go play instead of basketball, but he chose basketball.
And if I'm not mistaken, please correct me, Eddie. He was the GM during the Paul Pierce championship year.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And he drives a hard bargain too, man. That
yeah,
guy,
he's a pain in the ass.
He's
hard to deal with.
Yeah, he's like from the school of freaking Pat Riley and making trades.
But dude, he was a pain in the ass when he played. A pain in the ass. Yeah, that dude's just a pain in the ass.
Big time, man. Big time. All right. Yeah. So another guy that I'll go ahead and call out is a guy, man. You know, he was drafted in 1987 with the 22nd pick.
Oh.
Yeah. And this guy, you know, died at a very young age, at the age of 27. And they retired his number, man. Boston retired this guy's number, and that's Reggie Lewis out of Northeastern. Poor guy. And number 35 was Kevin Durant's number, just in general. But the Boston Celtics retired that guy because that guy was on the trajectory of being a really good player for Boston, man. I mean, and then he died of a heart issue, man, in a game or something. And that was crazy, man. That poor guy, man. But all right, so I want to give an honorable mention to him.
I do want to mention someone else, Eddie, that you reminded me of.
Yes.
Never played for the Celtics, drafted by the Celtics, died from a drug overdose, mistakenly drug overdose.
Oh, Bias.
Len Bias. Who had, everyone thought he was the next coming.
The next thing.
Everyone had faith in him that he was it. And unfortunately, that poor soul never got to play, not even one game. But I do want to mention he was drafted by the Celtics.
Yeah, that's a good call, man. And another one who's not drafted, but we're talking about guys who just died young, was Hank Gathers, man. Hank Gathers?
Yeah.
Loyola Marymount. School that my daughter goes to right now.
Yeah.
And then Bo Kimball used to go ahead and shoot left-handed free throws for him. Yeah. Yep. So in honor of him. All right. So anyway, bringing it back, man. Kind of an awkward segue, but anyway.
I'm sure if anybody in Len Bias's family happens to listen to us, a possibility. I mean, I'm sure they appreciate we bring
up. You never know, right? It gets forwarded. Yeah. This podcast gets forwarded. But anyway, so the next guy that I'll bring up, you already brought up Jason Tatum. You already brought up Paul Pierce.
Yes.
I don't think you brought up Jaylen Brown.
I did not bring Jaylen Brown.
Okay, Jaylen Brown is that, you know, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were drafted in back-to-back years with the third pick in back-to-back years, right? And now that's the cornerstone of their franchise right now.
Yeah.
Those guys. And for a long time, everybody thought these guys couldn't play together, man. They were talking about this is never going to work, right? What are you going to do with these big two wings that are similar, you know, style and this and that? And sure enough, they've kind of revolutionized kind of like the positionless basketball, right? And that's kind of like
he was the finals MVP last year. So
yes. He's a junkyard dog, man.
Yeah.
You know, I got to admit, man, when I saw him being picked at a third, you know, I watched some of his games at Cal, and he didn't necessarily have the best tournament, you know, and he got ousted kind of early. I was kind of surprised that they picked him at the third pick, but you know, hey man, if they did that draft all over again, he'd probably be right around there again, right?
Yep.
So you already mentioned Paul Pierce. I don't know if you mentioned Rajon Rondo.
I did not mention Rajon.
He's honorable mention, and then Kevin Garnett. Is another guy that I mentioned, even though he's more of a Minnesota Timberwolf, right? Yep. So we picked him as a Minnesota, but I just want to honor him because he did play for the championship team of the Celtics. So the last guy, and I think let me ask you this. Have you picked your guy?
Yes, but I'm not certain. Yes.
Okay.
I picked my guy.
Okay. So I was in between two players the best player of the organization of the Boston Celtics.
Yes.
All right. I picked Larry Bird, man.
Okay. I picked Bill Russell.
Okay. And I was in between both of those guys.
Yeah. I was too. I am too as well. You know.
Yeah. And the thing is that, you know, Bill Russell, you know, played at a time where there were not that many teams.
Correct.
You know, so he didn't have the same level of competition that Larry Bird had. Larry Bird played against Michael Jordan, who's widely considered the best player of all time. And, you know, played with Magic. Of course, they came in the league at the same time, and they had this rivalry throughout their whole career, became really good friends after. Larry Bird, you know, is Larry Legend and widely considered a top 10 player of all time. Whereas Bill Russell, I wouldn't say he's considered a top 10 player. He's considered maybe the top champion of all time because of all the titles he has, right? And he's a very good defensive minded guy. And he just lost his life, about a year ago. So, but yeah, I was in between the two, but
So here's a little of my logic. So number one, I don't want to forget about the old school players, right?
Yeah.
That was number one. And so Bill Russell to me is an old. Number two is I can't punish him for the amount of teams
right time. Yeah.
Or the skill. Correct. He did play against players like Wilt Chamberlain,
yes,
Jerry West,
yes,
and he for the most part mopped the floor with them. You know, anybody who was, you know, Nate Thurman, a lot of these big men who are well-known big men, Bill Russell dominated. And so that was, you know, I never watched Bill Russell. You know, that's obvious. I mean, that's an honest
answer. I saw him in highlights. We never saw him play real time.
I watched Larry Bird. And, you know, if you were just to tell me who to pick on base, who I watched, of all the players that I watched, I would have picked Larry Bird. He was, yeah, like, to me, the most impressive player, because you looked at him and you'd be like, there's no way he can do what he's doing. Like, how is he doing what he's, yeah, doing? You know, yeah, like this just doesn't make any sense. He looks slow. He moves slow. You know,
yes,
but yet he's in your face. He talks smack. He doesn't look like he should talk smack, but he talks smack more than anyone.
Yes. You know,
and he doesn't, yes, back down to anyone. So if you're telling me based on who I saw, I would pick Larry Bird. But to me, yeah, Bill Russell did what he was supposed to do. He beat everybody they put in front of him, and he did it handedly.
Yeah, you know, he did. He did.
That's really all I can say.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's just the versatility that Larry Bird brought is a differentiating factor, right? I think he,
correct,
you know, he could do a lot of things, and I think he kind of revolutionized the power forward position,
he
honestly.
Did.
Because he was the guy that could shoot the three ball very, very well. He could play inside pretty damn well. He was an unbelievable passer, man. Unbelievable.
Correct.
And sneaky defensive player. Sneaky. Correct. Kind of like Chris Mullin, kind of sneaky defensive, right?
Yep.
Not wouldn't wow you with his athleticism, but he's very, very smart. And that's where he wows you with his smarts. I just think that, you know, as much as Bill Russell is, dude, I was in between both of them. I just feel Larry Bird, most Celtics fans out there would say Larry Bird is the guy. And I definitely.
Most Celtics fans our age, but
yeah,
older than us, I question.
I don't know. You know, maybe the guys who, you know, are in their 70s and 80s right now who saw both of these guys play, you know, or maybe not, you know, 80s, it'd really be interesting to see who they would say is the better player out of those two, right? I just
think, 11 championships, Eddie. 11.
I know.
Bro. We're not talking 2, 3, 11.
I know.
And he coached one of the championship
teams. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Like,
he did.
Dude, like – and so you're right. So, you know, just kind of centralizing this, are we picking, you know, to some degree, yes, we're picking the most talented player to play,
yes,
for the organization. But
yes,
we are also playing the most impactful player to that organization. And in impact, Bill Russell's got Larry Bird beat.
Yeah, I mean, because he's got 11 of the 18 championships that the – yeah, the Boston Celtics – wouldn't have 18 championships if it wasn't for Bill Russell, because he's
correct
more than half, right?
Yeah,
right?
Yes,
way more than half. So,
I'm willing to concede Larry Bird. I'm not gonna like not like last week where I was going back and forth with Garnett and Durant. You know, I it could go either way, but I just like my, how would you pull it? My soft side, my emotional side,
yeah,
thinks it should go to Bill Russell. That's all that I'm gonna say. You know, I think he deserves it.
I hear you, man. I hear you. And let's, yeah, put it this way. You know, next week when we kind of have all of our teams finalized, we can kind of revise some of these teams, because we already are going to revise one of them, right? And we,
correct,
already revised, you know, the Luka Doncic for the Dallas, yep, Mavericks. He was the guy that, yep, we picked as the best player for that franchise. And now, because he's now a Laker, didn't have the longevity like a Dirk Nowitzki. So,
correct,
we had Dirk Nowitzki was the guy that we thought was the second guy, right, to pick,
yep,
you know, out of those two. So we picked kind of Dirk Nowitzki. I think we might have to do the same thing here, man. It's like,
all right, well, let's just stick with Larry Bird. So we, okay, don't.
We might have to go. Yeah, we might have to kind of revise this as how the team is constructed, right?
Okay. Depending, well, and you know what? Anyone who's out there, or anyone that, you know, we'll take your votes into consideration. Any of you old Boston heads, you know,
yes,
people that potentially watch both of them play, you know, put a comment in there. You know,
yes, love
you
to
know,
hear
me,
it.
I don't think there's an argument that Bill Russell was more impactful to the organization. Obviously, he won 11 championships. You can't do more impact than that. And I believe he only played 13 seasons, which is crazy, which means he didn't win a championship only
and
two seasons.
Only two seasons.
Correct. Two of the 13 seasons he played,
that's
and he
crazy,
won a championship.
That's
right?
Crazy.
So, but you know, Larry Bird was part of the.
Jose Lewis says it's a tough choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he says, I pass. Come on, Lewis.
Thanks.
Come on, Lewis. Go ahead and give us a decision, man. You probably saw a little bit of Bill Russell in your youth, man. Come on,
Lewis,
man.
Lewis is like, I ain't helping you bums at all. So what I'm saying is, and Larry Bird was part of the, you know, the NBA is where it is today because of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. There's just no doubt about it. So Larry Bird also has an impact, but his impact, I think, was more on the league than it was necessarily in his own organization.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do we have, like I said, we were in between both. Let's pick Larry Bird, man.
I already highlighted.
Yeah. All right, man. So we got Larry Bird. Let's go on to the Sixers. All right. So I'll go first. Of course, the obvious guys you got to pick.
This was another one that was tough for me, Eddie.
It was. And you know what? It was tough. This one's a tough one, man. So Julius Erving is one that is going to stand out, right? He's one of the guys that most people will say is like Mr. Sixer, right?
Yep.
Then you got Charles Barkley, who was the fifth pick out of Auburn in 1984. He's another guy, the round mound of rebound, right? And he was an impactful player, right?
Yes, he was.
Then you got Allen Iverson, man. He was the first overall pick out of Georgetown in 1991. And he kind of brought this swagger.
He brought hip hop
to the NBA.
He brought hip hop to the NBA. That's what he was.
He brought hip hop to the NBA. The hip hop culture to the NBA. Yes. That was him, right?
Yeah. And one tapes and Rutgers Park. He brought that whole vibe with him.
Yes, and the dude is a freaking baller, man. He's a baller.
I don't even think he's 6 feet tall.
He was like what John Morant is now, right? John Morant is kind of like the leaper, and this guy was the same exact way. But I would say Allen Iverson was way faster than him. Allen Iverson was so hard to stop, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, Jordan couldn't stop him. And Jordan was an elite defender, and he couldn't contain him because he was so freaking fast, right? And he gets a really good dribble. So Allen Iverson is another guy I have up there. Moses Malone, all right? Yep. He was a third round pick. He was a third round pick in the ABA draft, dude. He played for the Utah, drafted by the Utah Stars. They were the Utah Stars before the Jazz. So that was the 1970s.
Because the Jazz were over in New Orleans.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right. There's no Jazz in Utah. There's Jazz in New Orleans.
You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
So then another guy I'll pick is Hal Greer, widely known as the Great Sixer. Billy Cunningham, man. Yeah. Billy Cunningham, the seventh pick in 1965 at the University of North Carolina, also was a coach for them as well. Chet Walker, widely known as a good player too. These guys are old school. All these guys I'm picking are old school, right?
Old school,
he was the second round pick. Chet Walker was the second round pick in 1962, the Hall of Famer. You got Doug Collins. He was the first pick in 1973 at Illinois State. He was another guy I picked.
Jordan's first coach, by the way.
First coach, exactly. Yep. Then you got Daryl Dawkins, the guy that came out of high school.
Chocolate Thunder,
man. He was out of high school. And by the way, I looked it up. Moses Malone came out the year before him, and he was out of high school. So Daryl Dawkins was the second guy out of high school because Moses Malone was drafted in 1974 out of high school. So all right. So then you got Lloyd B. Don't call him World B Free. He was a second round pick at a 19. Yeah, I think he was probably more known as a Warrior, but he came out of the Sixers. I just want to give him honorable mention. Andrew Toney, eighth pick in 1980 draft. He was a real good Sixer at his time, but he's not. I mean, we picked some really big guys in the very beginning, right? Andre Iguodala was another guy I wanted to kind of call out. Ninth pick out of Arizona in 2004, and then of course the new heads, right? You got Joel Embiid. Although he's always hurt, but when he's present, he's a really good player. Third pick, 2014 at Kansas. And then the last guy was a guy that you really liked, dude, Tyrese Maxey, and he's balling out right now, man.
He is
playing very well out of Kentucky in the 2020 draft. So
he's a Philly guy through and through.
Yep. So all right. Anybody that I missed that?
Yeah, I had two guys that you didn't, and one we already talked about as a Warrior, but one was Will Chamberlain. He did play with the 76ers, with the Philadelphia 76ers, so I didn't hear him. I didn't hear you mention him.
Well, he was a Philadelphia Warrior, though. But I guess he was a Sixer, too, at one point.
Yeah, because they became the Sixers. However that worked, he was a Sixer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. And then the other one was Andrew Toney's running mate, which is Maurice Cheeks. I don't think you mentioned him. Right? Maurice Cheeks is one that I had in there as well. So since you went, who did you pick?
Dude, this was tough, man.
This was tough.
I picked, and this is a controversial pick, man. I picked Allen Iverson.
Okay.
I picked Allen Iverson because I think he's the most impactful guy from the Sixer organization that impacted the sport the most, in my opinion. And I think he was an unstoppable guy. Imagine that guy being like 5 inches taller. Holy Moses, dude.
And you know, and this was off air. And, you know, you were like, no way. But I told you.
Yeah, you did. I remember.
Yeah, because of matchups, not because he was necessarily better. I told you that I think that in a one-on-one, Allen Iverson would beat Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
and I still think that is – I'm not going to say it was, you know, that he'd smoke him or anything, but I think he'd give him a run for his money. Like, I think Allen Iverson was that quick, that adept, that – like, I can't see – I could see Allen Iverson picking Jordan's pocket. I can't see –
Sometimes.
I can't see Jordan picking Allen Iverson's pocket.
Every once in a while he might, but maybe not as often. Not as often as he would other players.
Again, all right, so I'll tell you this. I picked Dr. J, right?
Okay.
They won their only championship with him. You know, he – but I will concede this, but I have a gotcha. You're going to have to concede my Nets pick then.
Okay, that's cool.
Okay.
That's cool.
All right.
If we differ.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so you're going to pick Allen Iverson with me.
I struggle too, and you know, and of course, part of, you know, everyone knows him as a TNT clown, but from my own, like, you know, like I'll tell you this, like, right, Tom Brady's the best quarterback that's ever been, but if you ask me, it's going to always be Joe Montana, right? My heart is with Joe Montana; it will always be. But I will never argue with anyone that says Tom Brady's better. Yes, Tom Brady's better. Have at it. When I look at this list, that guy to me is Charles Barkley. Was Allen Iverson better?
The best player on this whole list.
Correct. Is Allen Iverson better? Yes. Was Dr. J better? Yes. But to me, it's Charles Barkley. Like, I love Charles Barkley's play. Yeah, his style, game, the way his toughness, the way he played the game. I love everything about the way Charles played. And to me, that's my sentimental choice. But the reality of it is, to me, it was down to Allen Iverson or Dr. J. I went Dr. J. You went Allen Iverson. I will concede that. But you potentially have a concession to me on the Nets.
Correct. All right, for sure. All right, man. So let's go on to the Knicks, all right? So you go first. You go first on the Knicks.
The Knicks. All right. So the Knicks, again, a lot of old school players, and I think you're going to have a lot of honorable mentions that I didn't pick.
For sure. For sure.
But I will start with the obvious ones. Obviously, Patrick Ewing. Very obvious.
Yes.
Out of Georgetown. You know, everyone, the frozen envelope. Patrick Ewing was supposed to be a Warrior, but someone had a frozen envelope in there, and the Knicks knew who to take. So they did it, and they won the lottery. The other one is Clyde Frazier, right? Clyde Frazier. Willis Reed, always known for, you know, the game that he came in limping and, you know, was hurt and came in to what's that? No, it's the ADT.
No, it's the
– The ADT?
Doctor.
The doctor, yes.
The Dr. J.
Don't worry, Lewis. I have a plan. Don't sweat it. I got a plan. All right. And where are we? Knicks. Earl the Pearl Monroe. I have him as a great Knick. Dave DeBuscher. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Great Knick. Carmelo Anthony, right?
Anthony
was a good Knick.
I forgot about him. I did not have him.
I left off some people like Stephon Marbury and a couple of
others.
I didn't have him on there. Another one that was near and dear to my heart because he was a Warrior, but I think he was probably a better King, was Bernard King.
Yes.
So I have Bernard King. Bill Bradley, the senator or mayor. He ended up being a senator, was Bill Bradley.
Yes.
Then I had a couple of guys there. Alan Houston, one of the sweetest strokes that I've ever seen in my life. He has
Clay Thompson,
smooth-looking shot. It's arguably prettier than Clay's, but, you know, we can argue that. And then the last guy I had was Charles Oakley. Big man Charles Oakley, who is still kind of watches games and is still with the organization. But he, to me, epitomized what the Knicks were, kind of a big, tough team, a brutal team, you know. And so those are my players that I have. Who did you have that I didn't?
I had Walt Frazier.
I did. Clyde Frazier. Clyde Walt Frazier.
Yeah, Walt Frazier. Willis Reed.
Yep.
Charles Oakley.
Yes.
I had John Starks.
John Starks. Good call. Yep. I didn't have John Starks.
Michael Ray Richardson.
Yes, Michael Ray Richardson.
Dude, another guy, he's probably more known probably as a Chicago Bull, but I wanted to kind of give the props. Bill Cartwright at USF, the same school that Bill Russell went to. USF, right? So we want to give USF San Francisco. We want to give them some props over here, bro. USF, right? All right. So the other guy, you know, kind of somewhat near and dear to us because he kind of turned around our franchise was Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson, 18th pick out of St. John's, 1987. Good friend of Chris Mullen. Another guy that played for the Knicks, but actually didn't really flourish, I think, on the Knicks. He flourished when he was a Portland Trailblazer, and that's Rod Strickland. 19th pick out of DePaul. And then the last guy that I picked is Kristaps Porzingis that you didn't pick. He was the fourth pick in 2015 out of Latvia. And then Patrick Ewing was the last guy. And Patrick Ewing was the guy that I picked as the best player out of this franchise.
Okay. And so I went again with the old school guy. And
okay.
Clyde Walt Frazier. They won a championship.
Clyde Walt Frazier. All right. I have to concede.
Yes. Yes. Not only that, he epitomized the tough New York point guard mentality.
Okay.
Stephon Marbury, Mark Jackson, all those guys that came in the mold of Clyde Frazier. You know, tough dude, you know, and so, all right, you concede. So great.
I conceded, man. You got this one. Clyde Walt Frazier, man. So that's the guy. All right. So now we're going to the Toronto Raptors.
All right.
So is it my turn first or your turn first?
I went the Knicks, so now it's your turn.
You're my turn. Okay. So this is going to be a controversial one because it's down to two guys, right? But okay. I'm going to go ahead and give props to – there's not that many players as I had in the other one because there was kind of a new organization. So the first guy that I have here is Kyle Lowry. He's probably widely considered as Mr. Raptor because he was the longest with that organization, right?
Correct.
The next guy I had was out of high school, Tracy McGrady, the ninth pick of the 1997 draft.
Good call.
And then another guy, another guy that they drafted, right? But they traded to the Warriors. They traded from the Warriors to the Raptors. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right. Take this back. They actually drafted Antoine Jameson.
They did.
And then the Warriors drafted Vince Carter.
That's true.
And then they swapped that pick. Correct. They traded that pick. So,
till this day, you know, we have a play-by-play guy by the name of Bob Fitzgerald, who was a radio guy. When I first started listening to sports radio, he was the night guy.
Yep.
And till this day, he claims that trade had to be done.
Agreed on Frazier.
All right.
Good on, Lewis.
Yes. apparently, that trade was not like the Warriors gave up Vince Carter. There was some sort of agreement. I don't understand what happened because they were 4-5.
Yep.
Right. Vince Carter was drafted fourth, I think, and then
yes, that's correct.
Jameson was drafted first. Fifth. But there was something in there, like the Raptors already had a trade and they could have went third and took Vince Carter, but they agreed with the Warriors that they wouldn't do that. But the Warriors had to trade something like that. So it's a little murky in my mind. I don't know how it worked, but apparently we were going to get Antoine Jameson whether we drafted him or not.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But go ahead. Continue. Sorry, I cut you off.
So, next guy I picked was Chris Bosh.
Yes.
Fourth pick out of Georgia Tech in 2003. Another guy who was a longtime teammate with Kyle Lowry was DeMar DeRozan at USC, ninth pick in 2009 draft. So he's another guy I picked. OG Anunoby is a guy who was picked out of the 23rd pick out of Indiana in 2017 draft. And then to the new school of players, Scotty Barnes, who looks like he's going to be a really good player for this organization for a long time if they don't trade him. He was the fourth pick out of Florida State in the 2021 draft. So out of all these guys, let me ask you this. Go ahead. I'm not going to pick. Did I miss anybody that's on your list?
Did you say Kawhi Leonard?
I did not.
Okay, so Kawhi Leonard, I had him as a strike through because we had him as a spur. And I'm not double dipping on anyone in the organization, but he did the 1 year he played with them, they won a championship. So, you know, I'm Kawhi Leonard's in that. I also had, did you mention Pascal Siakam?
I did not.
Okay. So Pascal Siakam was another one.
Yep.
You did mention Chris Bosh.
Yes.
Fred VanVleet.
I did not pick him. Yeah. Yep. He was undrafted.
Yes. Undrafted. Yep. So Fred VanVleet was one.
State. Yep.
Yes. Then Mighty Mouse. Do you remember Mighty Mouse?
Mighty Mouse.
Yes.
Mighty Mouse. Holy man. Who's that?
Damon Stoudamire.
Oh, that's right.
Mighty Mouse. Yeah. So
that's
I had
right. Damon Arizona Stoudamire on there. Out of Arizona. That's right.
Yes. Out of Arizona. Good call. Yep. And then Antonio Davis played for the Raptors for a while. Yes. So he's more known as a
Pacer, though.
Yeah. He's known as a Pacer, but I had him in there just. And then the guy that I'm surprised you didn't bring up is Jonas Valanciunas. You know, he was.
He was one of the guys. I liked the way he plays, man. You know, but yeah, he was really good early on for that organization for sure. Yeah, that's a good pick. Yeah. I definitely overlooked him. So good call, man.
All right, so those are the players that I had that you didn't cover, and you had some that I didn't. So I think we got a pretty complete list.
All right, man. So who did you pick?
I went with Mr. Raptor, Kyle Lowry.
Oh, I was so in between him and Tracy McGrady, man. I went with Tracy McGrady.
I was too, but Tracy McGrady to me stands out as a Rocket.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah. As a Raptor.
He's a good player. He's a good player. Correct. He's a damn good player. You know,
yeah.
He's one of those like where I think, dude, I feel like he didn't, for whatever reason, didn't live up to his full potential. Not for anything he necessarily did. Maybe it was injuries, but I just thought he could have been way more than what because his build, his athleticism, his ability to drill, like he was such a complete player. Like, and you know, him and Vince Carter are cousins, and you know, Vince Carter was the one that got a lot of the pub because of his monster dunks and.
Yeah.
But as a player, like Tracy McGrady was a better, complete player.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And you know, so I'm gonna pull the line that you pulled on me last time, man. Right.
All right.
So
you went Kyle Lowry too. So there's no argument here.
I did not. I went Tracy McGrady. So I'm gonna pull the line that you did on me, man. Last time on one of these shows a few weeks ago. If you were a GM and you had to pick between these two, who would you pick?
You jerk. You jerk. You know, obviously.
Come on, man.
All right. You're using my words against me.
Exactly.
You bastard. All right. Damn you. All right. Tracy McGrady,
man.
I'm not going to argue. There's Tracy McGrady. All right.
Dude, we've had a different on every guy except for – Yeah, this is the one that we differed on every single organization.
Everyone.
Every one of them so far. Yep. We have not settled on one just yet. This might be the one that we settled on in the last organization.
Well, you owe me here. You owe me. So,
all right, man. All right. So you go first.
No. I went first last time. You go first. I'll go last.
I went Raptors.
Oh, you went? Okay. All right. So for the Nets. All right. Here's my list. Jason Kidd, obviously, out of Cal. Sure. You know, played the bulk of his years with the Nets.
For sure.
My next pick, Julius Erving. Julius Erving played for the ABA New Jersey Nets.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yes. Played only three seasons, but did play. Brook Lopez.
Yes. Very good player for the Nets.
Obviously known as a Buck now, but was drafted and played with the Nets.
Dude, real quick interjection on Brook Lopez.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how that guy changed his entire game?
Yes.
You know? Because that guy, when he first came in the league, was a dominant center, dude. We're talking like a dominant.
Old school. Old school.
A dominant inside player who could do hooks, the mid-range shot. He was nowhere around the three-point shot.
Yes.
Ever. He was never around there. And he wasn't really regarded as a really big defensive force. He was more of an offensive force, you know, early on in his career. But he was kind of like. Man, I'm like, damn, this guy is good, man.
And you know what's interesting, Eddie? His twin, right?
Yeah, Robin.
Robin. Yeah. If you looked at them both, you would think Robin was the more athletic one. The one that would be able to do that better than Brooke.
Yeah.
And he never did. No, Brooke Lopez is very underrated as to how he's altered his game. He is what I believe, the reasons I believe that if Kareem played now, Olajuwon played now. Like, they would learn how to shoot.
They would have to.
If Brook Lopez could do it, they sure as hell could do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
All right, so real quick, Lopez.
Another real quick interjection on Brook Lopez.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen 7 feet in person, dude?
No.
I have. Because Brook Lopez was right behind me in line at the movie theater here in Pleasant in Dublin. And I was getting popcorn for the wife and the kid. And lo and behold, I just turned around, you know, and holy crap, Brook Lopez was right behind me. Dude, that dude is huge. 7 feet is no freaking joke when you see it in person.
Yeah.
I was like, well, yeah. And you know, I'm not one of these guys that gets starch struck, you know. I don't go, hey, can I take a picture with you? Oh, hey, are you Brook? I'm not like that. I just looked at him. And I nodded him, what's up? And that's it. And he did the same thing back to me.
He probably didn't even see you. You were probably so far away. He's
like, dude, he's huge. And then a few years later, I saw his brother, Robin, at Disneyland. And he was out there at Disneyland. Supposedly he's like a big Disneyland freak, Robin Lopez. He goes there a lot, right? And he had that freaking dread hair. And so I was like, dude, he's a big dude too, man. But he's
a little slider build. He's a slider build.
They're both kind of big, bulky, more bulky than you think. But anyway, I just want to bring that up because I have my brush with big guys, and I've never seen 7 foot in person until I saw that guy. And oh my God, they're huge.
I saw Bill Cartwright not that long ago because my neighbor invited me to a USF Dons basketball game.
Yeah.
And so I went to the game, and he knows Bill Cartwright. My neighbor actually played for the USF Dons in 1960-something or something. Yeah. And he's friends, and I didn't really get to meet him, but I saw him, and I think Bill Cartwright's like 6'11", 6'10", something like that.
Yeah,
that was pretty mammoth. Like, I was you're pretty freaking.
But, you know, I have seen other 7-footers because there's one time I went to a basketball game with JJ. He invited me to go to a game up in Sacramento, and he had courtside seats, the first time I ever did courtside seats ever in my life. And, dude, when you see these people on the floor next to you, they are huge. And we walked by the locker room. I saw freaking Luke Kornet. That dude's huge. Saw Harrison Barnes. Holy crap. He's like 6'8". Dude, these guys are huge.
Yeah,
and it's like you don't appreciate it until you see it in person. When you see it on TV, you're like, yeah, whatever. When you see it in person, I'm like, oh my God, huge. Yeah. Anyway,
so really, really quick, now that you got many, many years ago, I never sat courtside, but I had like a third row seat, something like that, like a third row.
Yeah,
and it was the Warriors playing the Falcons or the Hawks. Sorry, the Atlanta Hawks. And right. All of a sudden, Spud Webb gets the ball.
Yes.
Okay. And he throws like what looks to be a shot three quarters of the court. And I'm like, dude, why is he throwing that away?
Right.
All of a sudden, dude, here comes Dominique. Dude, I never even saw Dominique Wilkins. All of a sudden, in, alley-oop, dunk. And I'm like, and, you know, at that point, I was still pretty young. I still had visions of maybe I could play in the NBA. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, nope. Your dream was shattered that day, dude.
Happening, bro. I didn't even see it. I couldn't even see what he was doing.
Where
are you throwing the ball, bro? You know? And I'm like, yeah, nope. Anyway, all right. Continue down the list.
Continue your list, man. Go ahead.
All right. Buck Williams, remembered as a trailblazer, but Buck Williams did spend some time and played with the Nets the bulk of his young career. Yep. A couple of guys that one you mentioned in Portland, which is Drazen Petrovic. I remember him as a Net. When he passed away, he was a Net. When he started kind of creating a name for himself and his ability to shoot was a Net, so I had him as a Net. Another one is Derek Coleman. I think we all remember Derek Coleman.
Yes.
And then three that we had mentioned in other teams but played for the Nets is obviously Vince Carter, Rick Barry. Yes. Rick Barry played for the Nets, and Kevin Durant. And obviously Kevin Durant played for the Nets. So those were my choices. But again, those are strike throughs because they played for other organizations, but
All right. So I had the same guys. So I'm just going to go, I had the same guys with Brook Lopez, Jason Kidd, Buck Williams, a couple of guys that you did not mention.
Okay.
Eric, don't call me Sleepy Floyd.
That's right.
He was drafted by the Nets and then traded the following year to the Warriors in 1982. Right.
Yep.
So he was drafted in 1982 and then traded the following to the Warriors. And then, you know, he had that freaking crazy freaking game in the playoffs against the Lakers. Right. He had
21 points in the quarter.
Right. Which was outdone. 29. And then it was outdone by freaking Klay Thompson. And dude, I was at that game. I was at that game. And I was like, whoa, dude, and he was going nuts. Anyway. So I have that. Richard Jefferson is another guy that I picked.
Good call.
Kenny Anderson, second pick in 1991.
Kenny Anderson, yes.
Yep.
Georgia Tech. I think he played with Tim Duncan, right?
No, Tim Duncan was Wake Forest.
Oh, sorry. You're right. Georgia Tech. Yeah, that was Who did he play with? There was three of them. Was that three? Was Dennis Scott on that squad?
Dennis Scott, yes.
Yeah, and there was one more.
Dennis Scott.
And I'm forgetting one other guy. But
yeah, I don't know. I don't know who the other guy was, man.
Yeah.
You know, as we get older, the memory goes to shit. And
yeah. All right. He's like a 6'8 bruiser type guy, but I'll remember these years.
All right. So then I have two more guys. This is an honorable pick. All right. And it's just because I wanted to kind of call out that he actually was the pick by this franchise. He didn't really play for them that long. He only played for like one year for these guys. But he was the seventh pick in 1977 draft. Bernard King out of Tennessee. He got traded to Utah. And then after that, he got traded to Golden State. And then after that, he got traded to New York Knicks. And then from there, he became Bernard King, right? Yeah, then the last guy is Jared Allen. I know this is a guy that you really like. He was the 22nd pick in 2017 draft. But of all these guys, man, who did you pick? And I hope we
all get right, a so here on this one. Here comes the one that I want you to give me. So when I was looking at this,
yes,
there was I wanted Allen Iverson too. That's where I was leaning, but I felt that Dr. J did more for the organization.
Okay.
So I went, but when I looked at the Nets, I'm like, I had the same scenario. Even though Dr. J only played 3 years, he had incredible numbers. But obviously, the best net is probably Jason Kidd.
Yes.
So what I ended up doing was I just went Dr. J Sixers, Jason Kidd Nets. But what I really wanted to do was go Allen Iverson Sixers, Dr. J Nets.
Interesting.
That's really what I wanted to do. But because it was only 3 years,
yes,
I was like, is that enough? You know. So my ask to you is, even though I picked Jason Kidd, I think we should go with Dr. J because I think he deserves it as a Sixer. And I would say that to me, and we can argue, and I know Jason Kidd's a Bay Area guy and all that. I got love
for him. Oh, dude, this is controversial, bro. Yes,
but what I'm asking you is I think that Allen Iverson and Dr. J are both better than Jason Kidd.
As a one-on-one player?
Just as anything. And here I will argue my draft. If you told me, who are you going to draft, Jason Kidd or Dr. J? I'm taking Dr. J.
Okay. All right, dude. I'm gonna concede just because I owe you one. Okay. I don't like this one because Jason Kidd I thought was overwhelming the guy that we should pick. I'm surprised we differed on this, man. And every single one.
Well, we didn't differ. I picked Jason Kidd too. But. I was like, I had these four, you know, Dr. J twice and then Jason Kidd, Allen Iverson kind of triangle. And I'm going, you know, I'm like, he didn't play enough with the Nets. But, you know, his ABA, the red and white ball, the red, white, and blue ball, his big fro. I mean, all of that is from the Nets, you know, when he played with the Nets, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole, like, to me, I think of, you know, did you watch, what is that, Jackie Moon, the movie with Will Ferrell?
And, oh, yeah. I've never seen it, man. I know what you're talking about.
The rapper from Outkast, Andre 3000.
Oh, yeah, Andre 3000.
He played that big fro kind of, and I'm like, he's playing Dr. J. That's who he's playing. You know, or the fish that say Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I don't know if everyone on the audience is going to even know what the hell we're talking about. All right, so we're going to go with Dr. J.
All right, man. Here we go. So here are our picks. For the Celtics, we have Larry Bird. Although, you wanted to pick Bill Russell. They're the version you settled on. For the Sixers, we have Allen Iverson. Although you wanted to pick Julius Erving, but we settled on Allen Iverson.
Correct.
For the Knicks, we settled on Walt Frazier. You know, I actually had Patrick Ewing, but, you know, Walt Frazier, we went with that. And then Kyle Lowry, you had Kyle Lowry. Raptors, we had – I had Tracy McGrady. You had Kyle Lowry, and then we settled on Tracy McGrady.
Correct.
And then for the Nets – we now settled on between Jason Kidd and Julius Erving. And because, you know, we thought Julius Erving deserved to be on this list because he appeared twice here, then we're going to give it to Julius Erving. So
we kind of broke our own rules, but.
Oh, man. All right. So that's it. All right. So now getting down to the best one-on-one player amongst these guys. All right. So let me ask you this. Does Walt Frazier have any business in this?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Okay. How about now? Let me ask you this: Allen, okay, Larry Bird, versus Allen Iverson?
I'd go Allen Iverson.
Okay, so would I. Larry Bird, Tracy McGrady.
Crap. Let me think for a minute.
This is a close one, man, because, you know, Tracy McGrady's got the athleticism to contain Larry Bird. From a
he does. It's and always like, I always get stuck between, like, heart and desire versus
yes.
talent. Yeah. Bird's got the desire.
Yes. But, yeah, but this one's hard, man, because Tracy McGrady's very athletic. Athletic guys that are tall are a problem for guys that are Larry Bird's skill set. Although Larry Bird, you know, he showed that he can do well against anybody, right?
He can shoot anywhere in any pressure.
Yes.
So I'm gonna give the slightest nudge to Larry Bird, although I'm not 100% comfortable with that, but I'm gonna say Larry Bird over McGrady.
Okay. Larry Bird, Julius Erving.
There I'm more comfortable saying Larry Bird.
Okay. So it comes down to Larry Bird, Allen Iverson, Tracy McGrady. I was actually leaning more towards Tracy McGrady over Larry Bird.
Okay. Only because I can see that.
Only because of the athleticism, right? Now, yeah. Okay, you already said that Allen Iverson would beat Larry Bird. How about Allen Iverson versus Tracy McGrady?
I think Allen Iverson is the best one-on-one player in this
thing. And I think so too, man. So we're going to settle it. Allen Iverson is the guy amongst this group, right?
Yeah.
All right, man. So there you have it. We have finished.
Which I do want to point out.
Yeah.
Which is impressive because we've dismissed almost every other little guy.
He's like, I'm playing QB and I pass right on Lewis. Thanks, man.
Yeah, so you know, we've passed on every little guy that we've had.
Yeah.
Steph was not in the conversation, John Stockton wasn't in the conversation, every little guy, and Allen Iverson is just the exception to the rule.
Yeah, because he's so freaking fast and he's got like mad skills. Like Kyrie Irving dribbling skills, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I think it's a good choice, man. The only thing is that from defensive standpoint, he's going to have his challenges because he's only 6 foot, man, right?
Correct.
But he can pick pockets. So, all right, so there you have it. So we're set. We settled. Celtics, Larry Bird, Allen Iverson, Sixers, Walt Frazier, Knicks, Tracy McGrady, Raptors, and then we have Julius Erving for the Nets, and the best overall one-on-one player out of this group is Allen Iverson. All right, man. So we are at an hour and 22 minutes. We have our last segment, which is only going to be about 5 minutes, but let's go ahead and cover it, man. So we're going to go ahead and go over our little fantasy league that we have and just kind of see how we're doing, you know, on how we've been doing on this. The first thing we're going to talk about is the conference standings. You know, Twan and I had actually picked, you know, how we thought each of the teams were going to finish at the beginning of the season. And we're kind of tracking this on a week to week basis. So let me go ahead and take this banner off so you can kind of see. But you can see right here on the bottom, you can see the overall score for this week. The one on the left is the overall score for this week. And the one on the right is from last week, we were tied at 63, right? 63 points each, which, you know, if you look at the standings from the East and the West, man, we are doing putrid on the West, dude. I mean, with 75 points maximum for each of these conferences, we're doing pretty bad, man, as far as like percentage wise, man, but we're doing a lot better on the East. Right. But you definitely have caught up. And that's mainly because of some movement that happened here on the East. You can see here that there's 1 point. You gained 2 points on the West and 1 point on the East. And it's mainly because, you know, one of these guys you initially had gotten, you know, I initially had gotten 5 points had moved. Right. So, you know, you are definitely, you know, making ground here, but it's going to be interesting to see if it's right now we're at 53, almost 50 something games into the season. And I think what we're seeing here, as far as the standings, isn't going to move very much from this point, right? We're going to see probably is, you know, from the West side, we're going to see the Warriors possibly go up. We're going to see the Kings possibly go down. We also see the Mavs possibly going down. I don't see much movement, you know, from, you know, the Rockets are probably going to still stay there. The Clippers, you know, the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers are playing out of their mind. We shall see if this trade moves them up to the stratosphere of the top four and keeps them there, right?
Correct. Shall see,
right? But right now, the Grizzlies are the team that are just completely a surprise. We had no idea that they were going to be this good.
Yeah, man. No, I thought they would improve. I didn't think they'd improve.
I didn't think they'd be this
good. And then, Eddie, just one thing to point out. I think you gave me two additional points in the East. Because for the ninth place, I projected the Hawks, and it's actually the Magic, and you gave me 5 points, and I think that five should be a three.
Oh, dude, I missed it.
Yeah, so I would be at 37. I would be at 37.
So then we would be 37, and that would be 59. And yeah, so all right, so we'll thank you for catching that. We should probably catch it before we show it. But anyway, bottom line is that this race is close. Right. And this is we're doing this for another lunch or dinner, whatever, man. All right.
Whatever it is.
So, all right, man. So going to the East. All right. So I think that the top teams are pretty much right now. We predicted that, you know, the Celtics would be the top guy. We didn't see the Cavs coming up. We saw the Cavs being up there, but not this high. You had them in the top four. I didn't. I had them at number seven. So you're right on that. The Bucks definitely are moving up. The Pacers, they're definitely moving up. They're probably playing the best basketball, you know, since the break, along with Oklahoma City Thunder. Not since the break, since the last month, they've been playing the best basketball. So
what about my Pistons, baby?
Pistons, man. I know that's the other thing. You picked the Pistons. I picked the Blazers in the beginning of the season. That whoever would win, they'd be the better team out of these from a offensive, a defensive rating standpoint overall. You know, you picked the Pistons. I picked the Blazers. And the Blazers have been playing a lot better lately, man. So
they have been. You know, they have been. I'll give you that.
You got to give it to Chauncey Billups. Chauncey Billups has got these guys playing hard, man. So
I agree.
But they're still, you know, I can't even see the numbers, but they're the 11th, 12th, the 13th seed, right? And then you got the Pistons at the 6th seed. So you're definitely winning that bet right now, man. All right. Yep. So let's go to our rookie fantasy league, man.
Do we have to? I don't want to.
Well, I want to show you some. The only reason why I want to show some trends here, man. I just wanted to show you some trends here. So you can see here that right now the delta with we're at what game 50? Actually, we're at 51. We're all the ones that have been filled out. But what's interesting, what I wanted to point out here, look at Reed Shepard, dude, in game 50. Holy crap, 44.5 points. That looks like one of his games in the summer league, dude. Here you go. You got zeros, then you got 1.7s, and he's always in single digits because he's never played. But when he played, oh my God, did he go off, right?
Yeah.
Look at this delta. Look at this delta that you achieved in game 48. 116.3 points in game 48, and I had 29.3. That's when, like, uh-oh, you're coming back. And a lot of it has to do with because, look at Alex Sarr. I got goose eggs all out because he's hurt, right? And then I had goose eggs for a long time because of Zach Edey. Zach Edey was out for a long period of time, right? Then you had Cody Williams, who's been out for, you know, he's in and out of the lineup. So I was getting a lot of zeros. Jamal Shedd, too. So I had a lot of goose eggs. But the thing is that Zach Edey and Stephon Castle and Alex Sarr, they're all nearing 1,000 points total for the entire season. Whereas you haven't got one yet in the thousands yet. Right.
Not yet. But if you look at Bruzelis' numbers.
Yeah, Bruzelis is killing it right
now. They're just starting to come up.
He's starting now.
Yep, he's starting now. For Filipowski, who's my second rounder.
He's like a dark horse.
He's starting to come up. Connect. You know, obviously he was traded, then he wasn't, and I don't know what the heck's going on there. So that hurt me. And then we'll see what's going on with Shepard. I mean, the Rockets are a little bit of a slide. I think they lost maybe like six games, or they're on some sort of losing streak. So that's maybe why Shepard is getting a little bit more opportunity. We'll see how that goes. And Reese Arche's up and down, like, you know, how I would expect most rookies to be. To me, the guy that really, really – I knew Castle was a good defender, but I didn't think as an overall player he was going to be as good as he's being this quick. I thought he would be good down the road. I just didn't think he would be this good this fast.
Yeah, for sure, man. And dude, you got some points to potentially pick up here from the dunk contest, right? Because we have Stephon Castle versus – Amontas Bouzelis.
Yes.
Whoever scores the most out of those two is going to get an additional points here. 50 Correct. Points, right? Towards Correct. Their team. So that delta could either go up or down for one of us, right?
Yep.
So, but anyway, man, so that's pretty much it, man. That pretty much covers our show. We went ahead and covered the aftermath of the draft. You know, mainly the big player names like the Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, you know, Zach LaVine, Darren Fox. And then we kind of dovetailed into the last week of our quest to determine the best divisional team of all time and the best one-on-one player. We covered the Atlantic Division, which was the Celtics, which was Larry Bird, the Sixers, we had Allen Iverson, Knicks, we had Walt Frazier, Raptors, we had Tracy McGrady. And then Nets, we had Julius Erving. And the best one-on-one player out of this group was Allen Iverson. Next week, what we're going to do is we're going to start our little tournament. We're going to go ahead and figure out how we're going to go ahead and figure out, okay, which matchups to kind of figure out who's going to win, you know?
So let's do this. Let's do this, Eddie.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll finalize. So
we'll finalize.
Are we going to run two separate threads for the one-on-one and then another thread for?
Yes.
So do we want to start with one-on-one first?
No, I say we do teams.
Okay, so next week, let's just rank them. Let's just, you know, 1 through 6. That way, plays 6, two plays 5.
Yeah, but then that's already kind of telling you who's going to win. That's already kind of a precursor of who's going to win. I think what we should do, bro, here's what I think we should do. What I think we should do is we're going to have 6 teams. We're going to draw like a number, right? You have numbers. And then we're going to say, okay, team 1. Plays team, we're gonna do it like that, right?
Okay.
It's probably better. It's more random because then that kind of forces us to kind of really not prepare. You know, it's kind of on the fly who we think is gonna win, right? And we're gonna do the same thing for the one-on-one. We're gonna pick, 1 through 6, and then we're gonna go ahead and pick draw, and then pick up the matches, and then go from there.
Okay, and what I'll do in the interim is I'm gonna run these teams through AI.
Through AI, yes.
And I'm going to see what AI says, and then we can either agree or disagree with what AI says. Okay,
so why don't you do this? Go ahead and I would say let's not run AI now because that's going to kind of taint how you kind of talk about it next week. Let's just go ahead and without that influence of AI, let's just go ahead and pick these teams. And then once we decide on, team 1's playing team 5, for instance, right?
Yep.
Then we discuss. Then you say, okay, you run it into AI. Have these ready to be run into AI so that's not wasting the time, right? Just have them ready and then click and see what it says. And see how
all right.
Let's just do it that way. So, next week we'll do that. That's going to be our show predominantly next week. We're going to talk a little bit about kind of like, what's going on in the league, anything that come up. But that's going to be our focus is just kind of this quest to determine this tournament, right, of the best divisional team of all time and the best one-on-one player of all time. And then we'll
– Yeah, I do also next week want to talk about the All-Star festivities.
Yeah, we'll talk All-Star too for sure.
We'll talk about this format that they're doing. I got some opinions on the dunk contest now. I think it's a joke, to be honest with you. And so there's some stuff there I want to talk about next week.
Okay, we'll do that too. So let's talk about those 3 topics or 4 topics. It could be – let's just – we'll the other topic I want to talk about is we haven't done a rookie watch yet for this month. So
correct. We need to do a rookie watch.
We could do that either next week or the week after. Let's just do that maybe for the week after.
Correct. Yeah, let's focus on the All-Star game.
All-Star, yeah. We'll do that. Okay, cool. So, all right, man. Okay, so, cool. Anyway, this is Buzzer Beaters, a property of grumblingsmedia.com. You can find us on grumblingsmedia.com as well as any popular podcast outlet that you can think of, such as Pandora, Spotify, Google, X, Facebook, YouTube, you name it. Just call out grumblingsmedia.com. I'm Eddie Aparicio, and this is Anthony Tuan Corral. We're also known as the Cisco Kids, and we are going to go ahead and sign off, and thanks for joining us.